Today's first reading is from the book of Proverbs, and it probably doesn't jump out to a lot of people as the most memorable reading in Scripture. But I once heard a story about a very devout Protestant. And the very first Mass that he came to was the 20th Sunday of Ordinary Time, year B, which is today what we're reading. So he heard these readings. And as he heard the first reading, the words jumped out to him in particular, "Come, eat of my food and drink of the wine I have mixed." And when he heard those words, he instantly knew that he had to become Catholic. That moment changed his life because he realized that as a Protestant, he had listened to God's word and he had studied it for years, but he didn't have the Eucharist. He never received communion. And so when he heard these words in Scripture, "Come, eat of my food," it was as if God was speaking directly to him and calling him to receive the Eucharist. He wanted to consume the Eucharist in order to receive understanding, as the first reading says. And so that's the same call that the Lord gives to each one of us today, to come and eat of his food and drink of the wine he has mixed. Now, for those of us who may have been raised Catholic or maybe have been Catholic for a long time, you know, we hear very frequently that the Eucharist is the body and blood of Jesus Christ. You know, we hear it in Mass all the time. We hear it in the readings. So today's gospel may not surprise us all that much. But if we put ourselves in the mindset of the people who are hearing this for the first time, today's gospel would have been shocking. You know, for the Jewish people that were listening to him, you know, imagine hearing someone out of the blue for the very first time say to you, "You have to eat my flesh and drink my blood." You know, understandably, the people were a little shocked by that, and they didn't understand what he meant, which is why they say, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" And Jesus doesn't give them a very clear answer. He just reiterates what he says in an even more strong way. He says, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life within you." You know, the Jewish people had laws against drinking blood. And those go all the way back from the time of Moses, Leviticus 7. And blood was viewed as the life of an animal. And the pagans, sometimes when they would make sacrifices, they would drink the blood of the animal, thinking that they were somehow taking into themselves the abilities or the life force of this animal. And so the Jews had laws explicitly forbidding that type of behavior. You know, so when the Jews sacrificed animals, they would take the blood of the animal and they wouldn't drink it. They would pour it on the altar in order to atone for their sins. And so that would have made the statement when Jesus says to drink his blood even more shocking, because it was so ingrained in them that you don't drink blood. But the very reason why the Jews didn't drink the blood of the animals, because it was viewed as the life of the animal, is the very reason why Jesus told them to drink his blood. Because he wants us to have divine life. Not to be drinking the blood of animals, but to receive the life of God within us. He wants the life of grace to flow through us, not just spiritually, but physically as well. And so that's why he gives us the Eucharist, in order that we might share in divine life and have the very life of God flowing through us. And so he gives us his own blood sacramentally, truly, but, you know, through the consecration of bread and wine into his own flesh and blood, so that we can receive his life in a way that doesn't harm him at all, and in a way that's super abundant. You know, a priest can consecrate as many hosts as he needs in order to provide for the needs of the people, in order so that each one of us can receive the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. And so as we reflect upon this mystery of the Eucharist, you know, I think a good question for us to ask is, how can we dispose ourselves in order to receive the Eucharist in a way that's truly going to transform us, so that God's life can truly transform us and change who we are. And so there's three things I'd encourage us to do. And the first is to always approach the Eucharist with faith, to believe the words that Jesus Christ says to us, that the Eucharist is truly his flesh and blood, that in one host, or even in one crumb from a host, if we receive even one tiny fragment, we're receiving the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. You know, when we come forward and we say amen, we are professing that that is what we believe. And so first, to dispose ourselves well, we should come before the Eucharist with faith. And second, we should cherish the union with God that the Eucharist brings about. You know, we should cherish the moments in which Jesus Christ is dwelling in us and that he is in us and we are in him. You know, that should be a sacred moment where our soul rests in Jesus Christ and finds our strength and our joy and our happiness in him. And the third thing that I'd encourage us to do is to allow the Eucharist to heal our wounds and our brokenness. You know, all of us have faults that lead us to sin. All of us have brokenness that we carry with us. I encourage us to bring that brokenness and those faults before the Lord and allow him, his presence in the Eucharist, to heal us. And so how might this play out? Well, some of us might struggle with being passive aggressive. You know, if someone does something to us or we think they do something to us, we want to get them back. Well, when we come before the Eucharist, think about how many times our Lord is offended in the Eucharist. You know, how many times do people not believe in him or receive him unworthily? Or the number of people that just don't even come to church, even though Jesus Christ has descended from heaven to be here, and so often we just ignore him. You know, how many times is our Lord offended again and again and again? And yet, he waits there patiently for us. And so if we think about his patience and how he responds to so many insults, that can give us the strength to overcome a behavior like being passive aggressive. Or if we struggle with seeking attention, you know, sometimes we always want to be the center of attention or get affirmation from others. Well, think about how humbly our Lord resides in the host. You know, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords descends from heaven and he's present under the appearance of bread. Think about the humility of that. And when we think about the humility of our Lord, that can purify us of a desire to be the center of attention. Or if we feel alone, you know, if we experience loneliness, allow the presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist to be the happiness of our souls. Allow him to fulfill that desire for companionship and intimacy with others. And so whatever we struggle with, whatever wounds we have, I encourage us to bring those to the Eucharist and to think about how our Lord in the Eucharist can heal those. And so as we come before the Lord in the Eucharist today, we do so first with faith. Second, cherishing the opportunity to commune with our Lord. And third, we allow the Lord to heal our brokenness that's within us, so that as we receive the Eucharist and grow in our devotion of the Eucharist, we can become whole and have life to the full.